God, we come to you tonight, offering you our hearts. Lord, help us to listen to your word. Lord, guide us by your Spirit, that we might follow your paths, that we might learn from you, that we might be drawn closer to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Be at peace and silence as you listen for the Holy One. From Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." Allow God to direct you to a word or phrase from the second reading of the text. Now as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." During this silence, you are invited to come forward to light a candle to signify a prayer intention or other understanding between you and God. You may also come to the prayer bench to receive prayer for yourself or another. For those of you wishing to give a tithe or an offering, you're welcome to do so as you come forward to light a candle, take communion, or exit the worship center. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a certain village, where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. But there is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a certain village, where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." Like many children, my sister and I enjoyed some good games of make-believe when we were little. A common game we would play involved a small pop-up play tent in our basement, which I'm pretty sure we never used as an actual tent, but instead we would flip it on its side and pretend that it was an RV. We would then make believe that we were traveling across the country, most times starting in Maine and going to California, because that was the longest trip we could think of. The make-believe reason that we were going on this trip was always the same. My older sister was a famous singer or actress touring the country, and I was her maid. So our make-believe days would consist of her pretending to perform for thousands of people while I stayed in the imaginary RV and cooked and cleaned. Unfortunately, I don't think we ever made it to imaginary California, because we would get to about imaginary Kansas and somebody, usually me, would get upset and run upstairs crying to mom. So suffice it to say that when I read the story of Mary and Martha, I get what Martha is going through. Even doing imaginary work while somebody is off enjoying themselves is rough. And I know that it's not mentioned in our scripture, but I'm pretty sure that Martha is the younger sibling, because she falls victim to what I think is a fairly common younger sibling problem. Your older sibling makes your life difficult, and so you go and tell somebody in authority about it, which is often referred to as tattling or whining, and somehow you find yourself being the one who is in trouble. This is exactly what happens to Martha. She tries to tattle on Mary to Jesus, and she ends up being the one who's in trouble. But why? What is Martha doing that is so wrong? What has she done to deserve this rebuke from Jesus, somebody who she was close to? Oftentimes, when we hear the story of Mary and Martha, we get something like this as a reason. Jesus was rebuking Martha for her focus on service and work instead of listening to Jesus. Now, that might be true, but it doesn't really make sense to me for a couple of reasons. First, my common sense, my reason, my experience tells me that we need people to be involved in service for our church to be at its best. And I'm sure that some of you, especially those of you who tend to identify with Martha, who find joy in serving others, who see the service you do, the hospitality you offer, as a way that you live out your faith. After all, Martha, Mary, and Jesus all need to eat a real meal eventually. We would not be very effective as a church at all if all we did was sit around in contemplation, having deep spiritual discussion, and ignoring the needs of our world. But secondly, and probably more importantly, lifting up a way of life that ignores service to others is not the message I ever see Jesus giving in the Gospels. Instead, I think we see Jesus calling us to care for others, to welcome others into our lives and our homes with hospitality. This message occurs not only throughout the four Gospels, particularly the Gospel of Luke that we're reading from, but even in the verses of Luke 10 that precede this story. The beginning of chapter 10 in the book of Luke is the story of Jesus sending out 70 messengers to share the good news about him, including specific instructions for how they are served to serve others and to be served while they're doing this. Then the story directly preceding this encounter with Mary and Martha is that of the Good Samaritan. Now, it seems pretty strange to me that Jesus and Luke, the writer of the gospel, would suddenly switch from a message of go and do likewise to give compassion to the stranger to a message of stop doing and just sit. And so then as we look at the scripture, I think that we're challenged to look for a different reason for Jesus' rebuke of Martha, one that I think that's actually not too difficult to find if we look at what Jesus actually says. He tells her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." Jesus doesn't rebuke her for doing many things, but for being worried and distracted by many things. A more modern day Jesus might say, "Martha, stop running around like a chicken with your head cut off." Martha is distracted. She's distracted from the true goal behind all that she's doing, which would be to show hospitality to Jesus, her guest. Yes, to be a good host, it's important to have food to serve, to have a place for the guests to relax, to have all the guests' physical needs cared for. But Martha has missed her real job as the host, the one thing needed, welcome and forming relationship with the actual guest. Instead, she's let all of her tasks distract her. She's let the small jobs, the service, the task distract her from actually serving and following Jesus. Of course, this sort of thing never happens to us, right? All the things that are happening in our lives never distract us from serving Christ, right? Of course, they would never distract us in our faith. That's probably not true, because it's often easy to get distracted in our lives. There's a lot going on. Sometimes even when we're trying to do good, even when we're trying to follow Christ, we get distracted from the goal, much like Martha. But what is it even more than just being distracted? Martha is also worried about everything that's distracting her. She's not worried so much about her guest, but about herself, which brings us to what seems to be the other reason for Jesus' correction of her. Listen again to what Martha says to Jesus. "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." Do you hear all the me's in that? "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." Martha isn't worried about Jesus, her guest. She's worried about herself, about the things she has to do, all that's on her plate. And so Jesus speaks to her not as busy serving Martha, but as his dear friend Martha, who's worked herself up into a tizzy and is just getting anxious. And he tells her that she has nothing to worry about, that she doesn't have to be anxious, that she can just take some time and breathe and listen. "Stop worrying," Jesus tells Martha. "Stop worrying," Jesus is still telling us today. And I don't know about you, but I think that stop worrying is actually a harder message than stop doing. Because if all Jesus is telling Martha is stop doing, stop preparing, and come and sit and listen to me, that's really not that hard to do. Because Martha can be just as distracted and worried listening to Jesus as she can be by serving him and by keeping busy. But to stop worrying is different. It's a change of mind, a change of attitude, a change of what or who you're putting your trust in. To stop worrying means we trust Jesus to provide. Trust that if the meal doesn't get finished, if the house is messy, then it's still okay. But the good news of the passage is that Jesus doesn't just tell Martha to stop being distracted and to stop worrying and just leave it at that. He gives her a way to make it happen. And he does this by pointing out what Mary is doing, what he refers to as the better part, sitting and listening. I think Jesus invites Martha to come and sit and listen like Mary is doing, because he knows that it's that time that will ease her anxiety. It's the words of Christ, the promises he gives, the love that he shows, that will refocus Martha. And a refocused, less anxious Martha will certainly be welcome to continue her service, to continue to host Jesus, and she'll probably get a lot more joy from it. But what about us? After all, we can't just go and sit at Jesus' feet today like Mary and Martha were able to. Yet we can still have our time with God to lessen our distraction and to calm our nervousness. We take time to read some of the words of promise and hope we find in the gospel. And so we read scripture to refocus, to calm, to offer peace. We spend time in prayer as we're getting ready to embark on acts of service to help us remember that it really is all about Christ. And we commit to holding each other accountable, to bring each other back from distraction, to the task to focus on Christ. It is through our time spent with Jesus, our time spent in scripture and prayer, that we overcome our distractions. Because the more we spend time with Jesus, the more we can grow to trust that he will provide. The more we focus on Christ, the less we will focus on things that distract us. Because service and hospitality are not wrong, but they're best when they're done with the love of Christ as the main point and not our own worries.